There's a reason gun owners trust the United States Concealed Carry Association. For over 20 years, the USCCA has empowered protectors and patriots, providing education, training, and self-defense liability insurance to responsibly armed Americans. Avoiding danger, saving lives, and keeping your loved ones safe requires real confidence, and that's what you get when you join the USCCA. Members are educated, trained, and insured, fully preparing them to protect themselves before, during, and after an act of self-defense. Visit uscca.com/protect to join today.
Welcome! Let's play! Choose door one or two.
One?
You picked flood insurance!
This hurricane season, bounce back from flood loss. Flood insurance is your winning choice. FloodSmart.gov/hurricanes.
Does your child dream of building the future? At SST, we ignite a passion for science and technology. Our hands-on curriculum goes beyond lectures. Imagine building robots, coding apps, and making new friends while learning. We're a tuition-free public charter school. Apply today.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
Santa's hell.
We are live on the air. It's very good to be back with all of you out there. Of course, I am the number one best-selling author, The Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio, the genuine book that you can find on Amazon.com as well as BrushBeater.store. None of the fakes, okay? None of the fakes. It seems like there's new fakes that are popping up almost hourly now. Don't go for any of those. They're all some sort of ripoff variant of my book. But, you know, don't go for those. The Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio. Very simple. Very easy to follow. Will get you from point A to point B on the radio. You will go from literally having never touched anything to understanding the differences of VHF, UHF, how to send digital traffic, and a whole heck of a lot more. The antenna chapter in there has by a lot of your admissions, has really helped things out for a great deal of you out there in unlocking a lot of those hidden capabilities. So definitely get that. It's number one bestseller for a reason. It survived all the ripoffs for a reason. We're still rocking and rolling. Of course, I am back in the saddle. I am back in the base of operations, and you can probably tell by the difference in audio on this that I am not behind my usual microphone, the boom microphone, and the acoustics in here are a little different. And that is because I am at this is the inaugural address from the Resistor Ranch. That's right. That is right. We are here, and it is really, really something that I am both excited about, and we have been blessed with such an incredible opportunity. We've got livestock now. I am here in the radio room and the future HF radio room of Resistor Ranch. And man, I'm going to tell you, it's really exciting. Some of the stuff that I have on tap. But sitting here at the desk of the El Comandante, and We are here. We are live and back in North Carolina. Spent a bunch of time out in Montana. That is where I have been. I had a bunch of emails from a lot of you out there. Hey, what are you doing? Where have you been? Where are the new shows? There's all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world. Where are you on all this stuff? And here's the thing. There's a lot of blackpilling that goes on out there. There's a lot of despair that happens when you only inhabit the internet, the interwebs, spaces, and all of this stuff. You need to understand that you don't know how much of that is real and how much isn't. Okay? You do not know how much of that is real, is genuine, and how much is fake. And a lot of what you see, if all you're consuming is online media, and there's a lot of you out there that do this, right? I know this to be a fact. There's a lot of you out there that do this. You only are online because that is your comfort zone, so to speak. You watch such and such and so on YouTube or whatever. A lot of it is gun reviews, let's be honest. Some of the people in the quote-unquote shooting community that step outside of the gun reviews. There's not many of them, though. But you get tied up in that, and then you get tied up in the social media end of it, which is an audience engagement method of sorts. But that's all you digest. And you're not actually getting out in the real world. You're not touching grass, so to speak. There's no praxis there. There's no practical application. There's no really utility in any of that, at least in my opinion, okay? And my opinion's a valid one. Why? Because I have done things out in the real world. I've seen what is successful and what isn't. And when you're online only, when you're only meeting people through comments sections or whatever, and that is what encompasses your quote-unquote training program, you're certainly going to have marginal results. And the thing is, I'm not admonishing anyone in particular here, but what I will say is that you end up with a higher susceptibility to the black pill effect. Nothing ever happens. And I am at home by myself. And I just really wish somebody would come in and just do something. Right? We just come in and just do something. And we can just turn all this around magically. Right? You want somebody else to do that while you can sit in your chair and be entertained still. Right? You can be entertained. Because that's really what a great deal of people out there actually want, is entertainment. So, with that said, where am I going with this? Because I'm sure that there are several of you out there that, again, if the shoe fits, wear it, of course. But, I don't sound like that. I don't do that. Well, let me tell you, coming from a class out in Montana, and, that's where I was. We ran two classes back to back, the RTO course and the signals intelligence course. Coming from two full classes were full, they were at capacity, and the signals intelligence course was actually a little over capacity. Coming from that, and the networking that you build, and the working with others that you didn't previously know, the awareness that, hey, there's other people who feel the same that I do, and are coming out of the woodwork to do something about it. We're gaining skills, right? We're working hard. We're getting put to the test. And then we play hard once the work is done. You know, it's a novel concept. It is a novel concept. But one that is critically important. And class is the heart of it. Teaching courses is the heart of it. And I had a young man in class who, I'm not going to give anything away about him. But he's brilliant, sharp as a razor. He is an asset to any unit that he would be a member of, and that, you know, I'm not, he is a military member, and I'm not going to say anything other than that. And he's been to some pretty kick-ass schools too. You know, so he's got some serious bona fides under his belt. For him to come to me after class and say something that many of you who have been in class have heard me say about how this is all the best times, right? I've said this is all the best times that I had in the Army, with none of the bad ones, with none of the annoying ones, with none of the negative stuff. And he told me that very same thing, kind of unprompted, just, hey man, you know, this is, I just want to tell you like how awesome this has been. And I'm really honored by that. Really, really honored by that. You know, and that runs the gamut. I have some of the youngest members in class who are in their early 20s. I have the mid-30s guys who are in class, which made up kind of the bulk of who we had in class. And then some guys that are a little north of that. You know? And that's the dichotomy that you have. This is a real-world breakdown of people that you're going to have in your working environment. You know? And so with running classes and with the whole training, that is where it's really happening. Okay, not online, not in somebody's Discord server, which is all being monitored. Certainly not on Telegram, okay, which, you know, is just sucking up all your metadata. You know, I'm really amazed by the people who haven't figured this out. Maybe they don't know. I don't know. But I know its purpose. It has a business purpose behind it. It's all these social media, quote-unquote, influencers and all this stuff. The whole purpose is to generate audience engagement with it. They actually, they're not particularly smart. None of them are. And they don't have your best interests at heart. They never will. They're not going to be there. If you get rolled up doing something dumb, do you think any of these people are going to come help you? No. But some people just fall for it. They fall for it again and again and again. But, you know, I mean, enough about that. I'm not trying to black pill anyone or any of this, but I'm just saying, there's limited utility in a lot of that stuff, you know? So you should absolutely be networked with people who are alumni from courses, people that you've met in person. There's at least some level of human interaction you've had there, but, you know, people that you only met online, that only exist online, that you have never seen in the flesh, that you do not know if they are real people. You don't even know if that's not an AI-generated voice on the other side of that. But they're more than willing to share with you whatever it is they know about whatever. Boy, it is something, is it not? So quit falling for it. quit falling for it. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You, all of you out there, don't fall for it. And that's why you listen to Radio Contra. Absolutely. You know, and for those of you who don't, you know, and we all know somebody that doesn't, well, you know, we are a horse of a different color, quite literally. But I wrote a piece about it. I wrote a piece kind of reflecting on Montana a bit. And the just, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. And I titled it as that over on AmericanPartisan.org. A breath of fresh air. And, you know, it's a quick read. And it was quick to write. And it was something that was pure emotion in a good way, and one that I think is something that we all need from time to time. And, you know, not everything has to be tactical. Not everything has to be tactical. And we're quickly served with this cartoonish imitation of an imitation, so to speak. You know, in the larger community, the shooting community, the prepper community, whatever it is that you want to label it, it kind of overlaps, encompasses all these things. But, you know, I mean, the flat brimmed hats and the flannel shirts and the cool pants that are hideously overpriced. You know, take your pick. Take your pick. Wearing approach shoes everywhere. It's like, dude, there's not a mountain within 20 miles of here. What are you wearing approach shoes for? It's those kinds of things that crack me up. But my point is, though, is that a breath of fresh air is genuineness in that community, a community that's so filled with frivolity. And nonsense and just imitations of imitations. I'm gonna outcool you. Oh, hey. Yeah. And then the conversation will always devolve to, you know, what brand of what do you like? And we, you know, you know, well, I saw in this one guy's video. I saw on this one guy's this one guy shared on Instagram. I saw this one, and this is all just cartoonish. Okay, it's all cartoonish. I mean, what are you people even doing? All right, you're not fooling anyone. That's why I think the term gray man. Oh, I'm going to be a gray man. I'm going to be a gray man. I'm going to wear my 5'11 pants. I'm going to be a gray man. I mean, they'll never know. Nobody will ever know. You don't blend in with anything. I mean, have you thought about that? The only people you're blending in with is people just like you. It's just something to think about. So whenever you see something that's genuine, whenever you are breaking bread with people who are genuine in a sea of fake, right, phony, posers, people that want to look the part, when you're breaking bread and sharing that time with people who are 100% genuine. And not only are they genuine, they're also the most dangerous men in the room, whether they want to be or not. Okay, there's an important distinction there. They're not trying to be. They don't have to be. They don't have to scream at the top of their lungs, "Hey, look at me, I'm a cool guy." Okay? They're not seeking anyone's approval because they don't have to, all right? This is a concept that I think that the larger, let's say, right-wing community needs to adopt. And I'm going to get to this, okay? I'm going to dive deeper. We're going to be talking about the fraternity stuff. We're going to be talking about the counter-revolution that I see that's growing, but it's all tied into this, all right? It's all tied into this. Those guys that don't seek your approval,
Those guys that aren't sitting there seeking to scream to the world at the top of their lungs that they're something that they probably aren't. Those are the guys that you want to emulate. The people who have actual real world skills that are applicable. Okay, so you can shoot a gun. All right, so what? I can make anyone good at shooting a firearm in a short amount of time. Okay, it doesn't take long to become proficient with the manual of arms, with any weapon system. Any weapon system doesn't take long. All right. When you remove the fear that's instilled in people in kind of a military training paradigm, you kind of let it free flow a little bit. You'd be shocked at what people could do in a quick amount of time. So I love training civilians. Absolutely love it. I train civilians all day, every day over military guys. You know, not denigrating anybody in the military at all. Having a military background myself. But the point is, you're not bringing ego. You're not bringing preconceived notions. You're not bringing frivolity to the mix. You're not trying to, you know, for lack of a better term, have a dick measuring contest with anyone, right? There's none of that going on. You're there to learn. People are there to learn. And that's that. But those guys that walk the walk, and you know, real recognizes real. Real also immediately recognizes fake. They see it for what it is. And when the conversation is little more than, well, so-and-so said in this video this, and, you know, well, blah, 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 guy wears flannel and you know, heavyweight khaki pants and approach shoes. It's like, well, you know, I mean, you do you, but there is a particular flavor to that look that's just kind of phony, all right? It's just kind of phony. But at the same time, you find that in any community, right? You find that in any community. In the equestrian world, you're finding that. I mean, the popularity of Yellowstone and those kinds of shows, that's led to a lot of fakeness and stuff in that world. You know, and there's a lot of that. All right, there's a lot of that. Every community has that. All right, every community has that. It just so happens, though, that the shooting community, to me, in my mind, is one of the more annoying ones. Because you run into those people online. They only exist online, by the way. That can quote facts and figures and all the little details about anything that you want to pick. But the second that you ask them, when have you ever done this? When have you ever applied any of the things, the little nuances that you're talking about here? When have you ever actually done any of this? 9.9 times out of 10, they will vanish on you, or they will try and shift the goalposts. You know, some verbal diarrhea word salad comes out of there. The answer is no. Short answer, two words, no. You didn't do it, no. Sit down.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Chad on the life-changing rewards of real estate investing.
Residents come in thanking you for taking what was dull and drab and turning it around and making their lives better. It's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today with Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Code 2024.
In the mind of a child with autism, conversation can be hard. But BYU students use an animated social skills coach to help kids find strength. Brigham Young University, for the benefit of the world.
The point here is that real, in recognizing real, also knows when there's other utility in the things that are being conveyed. okay, so guy can shoot a firearm. All right, cool. Well, what else can you do? You know? So what? That really doesn't do a whole lot for me. I can shoot a firearm and train other people to shoot firearms. What else can you do? Can you weld? Can you do carpentry work? Can you, you know, fix the toilets when they don't work, when they get stopped up? You know, do you know anything about cleaning septic tanks? Do you know anything about animal husbandry? You know, do you know any of these things? Do you know how to plan out a growing season calendar? Right? Simple things. The non-sexy stuff. The things that actually sustain life, by the way. Right? These are all real. These are all genuine. And that, in and of itself, is the person that we all strive to be, or should strive to be. To learn as many things as possible. Right? In my reflection piece, I included the juxtaposition of the California tech bros that are coming out. They're leaving California. Now, I want to caveat something here. I'm always good with people who are genuinely leaving an area that's bad, whether it's politically bad. You just come to that realization, you're not going to change it. Look, man, I got to get the hell out of here, whatever. But these people who are inhabiting places like Big Fork, Montana, Kalispell, Montana, places like Orange County, North Carolina, those people are not escaping bad politics. Those people are bringing bad politics along with them. And in doing so, they do it in the most toxic of ways. Because they will tell you to your face, maybe, with some exceptions. They will tell you to your face, though, oh, I agree with you. Oh, yeah, man, California sucked so bad. It was so terrible. And they turn right around and they vote for the exact same thing. And in the very same breath, they will complain about the lack of things in the place that they came to and that they should have them. And they'll vote in the same caricatures of people that they decried in the places from which they came. 100% of the time. And I feel bad for people in California that can't get out. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's asinine. The taxation there, it's outright theft. It's outright theft of people's wealth, of money that they made. Extortion that has to go to the government, and all the government of California can do is turn around and say, you owe us more. We're going to take more from you. And yet, the same people, the very same people, leave there and they inhabit all these other little places. They make their little California colonies that they create. They're always white. They're always liberal. They always love their Starbucks. And then whatever other shitty little coffee brand that they come up with. And they always love to tell you what you're doing wrong in your place. And how, well, you know, we could change this. We could change this. Oh, okay. Yeah, because California is obviously a model of success, right? Obviously a model. Depending on which end of the economic divide you find yourself in, it's an important thing there. Which end of the economic divide you find yourself in, which is a very sharp, very, very sharp dichotomy. You are either part of the haves, or you are absolutely, most definitely one of the have-nots. But there is no in-between with them. It's a vanishing middle class. But they always show up. They always create their little colonies. They always drive the property values up. They always flood the area with the money. And, of course, the local government is going to want to get in on the scheme. So they drive the tax value up. They do their tax reevaluations. They reevaluate the worth of your home in there, and they want to price the locals completely out, which is exactly what happened. Like a plague of locusts showing up. And now the people who are local to a place can't afford to live there anymore. They literally can't afford to live there anymore. And they're pushing out all of the capable people. All the capable people. All the people who are capable of rebuilding society. A society that these people have broken. And continue to break. And so, it may sound like I'm beating up on Californians a lot. No, it's a specific type that I'm beating up on. And they're endemic to Western Washington, the Tacoma side of Washington, the Seattleites, the Portlandians down in Oregon, that crowd. That's exactly who I am talking about. All right. Because we can put them in there too. We've got a lot of them here in North Carolina and just as toxic. Every bit as toxic, right? They bring their bullshit with them. And so for everybody in California that knows exactly what I'm talking about here, I feel sorry for y'all. I really do. You know, I really do. And I would love to say, you know, hey, it's going to change for the better. But man, I don't think it is. There's a whole lot of CCP money that's coming in there that is just going to make sure things aren't going to change. You know, over the years, I've had several politicians on and, you know, different folks that I've had on the show. And, you know, over the years, back in the early days of the show, had a guest on, and one of the points that was made was wherever there is tech industry, you're going to have a strong Democrat-run central governance in there. And there's a lot of reasons for that, that you know, I'm not going to go too deep into. But what I'll say is, though, is that every effort needs to be made to stymie that. And even though I'm not a fan of Yellowstone, I could really care less about that show. Don't like it. I don't really watch much TV anyway. I like a lot of older stuff. I like older movies, things that were actual, genuine, you know, good thing. It had good story writing to it. It was original, or at least mostly original. There's nothing original anymore. There's no films that have been released. You know, we'll say in the past 10 years. That has really captivated my interest in any sort of way whatsoever, with original thinking or solid acting or any of that. You know, but anyway, I would say maybe one exception would be Sicario, but you know, I enjoyed that one for different reasons. My point is, though, the point here is every effort needs to be made to prevent those outside influences in localism. And in order to be a localist, you have to be local to a place. And that takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of meeting people. That takes a lot of showing up to do that. And the left is doing it, all right? They've been doing it. And they get real weirded out when conservatives start doing it. They've kind of had the assumption now that conservatives just aren't going to do it. So, you know, they don't get any pushback. And they genuinely can't fathom that there's a pushback here. That, oh, no, now all of a sudden something's happening. Oh, no. Why, whatever are we going to do? And they're freaking out about it. We're seeing this on the college campuses. But talking about Yellowstone, you know, the series protagonist, Dutton, Kevin Costner's character, he's elected as governor, and he says he's the enemy of progress. And he's dropping some truth bombs that, you know, the writers of the show, they kind of are what they are. But Taylor Sheridan, there is some truth to what's that point of view that's being conveyed there. That the locals of Montana, the locals of here in North Carolina, the locals of South Carolina, the locals of many states, the locals of Texas. I mean, look at Austin. And they're doing their damnedest to turn San Antonio into the same thing. They're fed up with it. You know, they roll their eyes. And we all know those cities, right? We all know those cities in where we live, where somebody brings it up, you instantly roll your eyes. Chapel Hill and Asheville here in North Carolina are those two. That as soon as somebody brings it up, you roll your eyes. Man, are you serious? Oh. And so that's why it was a breath of fresh air, and I could barely believe it when I saw the footage that came from UNC Chapel Hill, our very own Tar Heels, here in the great old North State, of the real pushback that was happening. Phi Beta Kappa, you know, I'm not too familiar with that fraternity. I'm going to share some Greek life points of view here. I'm Kappa Alpha. But, you know, anyway, it's neither here nor there. But.
Truth. Your property tax is based on how much your property is worth, or at least how much the appraisal district says it's worth. That's your appraisal. Your tax rate determines how much you pay in taxes. The trick is, as the market increases, so will your tax burden. And if you're not careful, this can really add up. But the state of Texas gives you a say in it. Even if your property taxes haven't increased year over year, you have the right to protest your property's value. That's where Resolute comes in. Our expert property tax consultants will file a protest on your behalf and can achieve significant tax savings for you. And those savings can really add up. Resolute's services are guaranteed in that we only charge you a percentage of what we save you. There's nothing to lose. If you don't get paid, we don't get paid. No startup costs, no hidden fees. It's that simple. So call or sign up online and start saving today.
I think that in America right now, there's no better vignette and microcosm that was captured on film than those guys being pelted, being ridiculed, being taunted. You know, UNC Chapel Hill is a hotbed of leftism. I brought up Orange County going into this for a reason. Chapel Hill Carrboro is located in Orange County, North Carolina. And it's a place, Chapel Hill is a lot like how Austin, Texas was at one point in time, where it was always on the left side of things, but it was like left-wing populism. You know, it was about taking up for the actual working class, not these spoiled ass kids drinking $10 coffees talking about they work, they're the workers. The fuck have you ever worked for? What have you people ever worked for? Nothing. And you're in college. You're living off student loans. There's no working going on. You know, if somebody says some words that magically offend you, you have cry-ins. You're soft as baby shit. So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm at a loss here. To see how and in what way do you people work? What labor do you people do? because I'm not seeing it. And I've been among you. All right, I've seen your quality of work. It's laughable at best. All right, so I don't want to. I don't want to hear it. So I find that ironic. But back in the day, you know, the left wing populism, you know, kind of the Steve Earle takes on life. You know, the seedy underbellies, the taking up for the poor, people who kind of got the shit end of the stick of society's goods. Hey, man, I totally get it. And on some level, I sympathize with that. I'm not going to say that I agree with it, because I don't. But I sympathize with it on some level, man. As somebody who came up from humble means and clawed his way. You know, I didn't just fight my way. I fucking clawed my way to what I have. And you fight. That's what life is. It is one fight after another. You know? One fight after another. Yeah, you know, obviously you can tell I'm getting a little fired up about this. Because it there is not a better vignette or microcosm of where we are than that image. Right? These kids who are out there, who are the symbols of everything the left hates, okay? Everything the communist left hates, and this is nothing new, okay? They abso-freaking-lutely hate fraternity life. They hate all of it. They hate sororities. They really, fraternities are easy for them to beat up on. They don't really beat up on sororities much. You don't hear about a lot of that, but believe me, the venom is there. Okay, the venom is there. They absolutely hate them because these organizations represent everything that they despise in their class war, their greater class war in the United States. And that's the point. The thing is never the thing. The thing is always revolution. That is what is going on. They don't care about Palestine. They don't care about Israel. They don't care about Ukraine. They didn't care about COVID. They didn't care about any of these things. They only care about stomping on you. They only care about overthrowing the existing order, which they have been brainwashed by their Marxist professors to believe is inherently unjust, is inherently broken. There's not a thing wrong with it. And that all of society's gains are ill-begotten. And everyone that ever achieved anything got it at someone else's expense. Because they desire equality of outcome, not equality of opportunity. And I'm not even a fan of equality of opportunity. I said it. Some people don't have what it takes. You have to be at least this high to get here. Public education. Really good example. What good is public education? What has public education done? What has it done for any of us? Kids that are going through public education might as well be a babysitting service. They can't read. They can't write. They're violent. They get drugs pushed on them from the time they're in kindergarten. It's altering their brains, altering their physiology, altering their neural pathways. We can't even do studies on it. National Science Foundation doesn't want to approve it. Well, that might upset the apple cart. And boy, we can't piss off Big Pharma now, can we? Mm-mm, no. So these kids are out there, right? The idiots, the Marxists, the street show, ripping down the American flag. There was a point in time where that wouldn't have happened. Even on the left, that wouldn't have happened. You know, back in the 60s, Abbie Hoffman, who was, for those that don't know, you go back and watch Forrest Gump, Abbie Hoffman was on stage, the big anti-war rally that was at the National Mall. Abbie Hoffman was on the stage up there with an American flag shirt on, which is disrespectful to the American flag. But there was symbolism there, whether people appreciated it or not, or whatever. There was symbolism there. And that underlying symbolism was the fact that we're all still American. We disagree with this, but we're still American at the end of the day. Hoffman made some remarks about that in his book, Steal This Book, which, you know, you can find wherever. But the point, it's an interesting read, to say the least.
Does your child dream of building the future? At SST, we ignite a passion for science and technology. Our hands-on curriculum goes beyond lectures. Imagine building robots, coding apps, and making new friends while learning. We're a tuition-free public charter school. Apply today.
The point is, though, is that at some point, we were all still American. And we're not anymore. There was a demarcation there. And it may very well have been that on the militant left of that era, that they didn't consider themselves as being American either and didn't care, but they at least recognized that there was a line you didn't cross, right? And that was the open contempt of the American flag by ripping it down. That's the line that these students crossed. And I want to point something out here. There's been a lot of back and forth online. There's been a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, but there's always the yeah, buts. Yeah, but, you know, these kids are protesting against Israel. And, you know, these frat boys are, look, they're out there. They're protesting in favor of Israel and stuff back and forth. I really don't understand how in the hell you could be blackpilling yourself at a time where such great victories are happening. That's for starters, okay? And as I've said many times on this show, it doesn't matter where you stand in this conflict. All right, I personally don't believe that we should be giving foreign aid to any country when any of them, when our southern border is wide open. Wide open. We're being invaded. Why are we giving anybody money? Because there's grift involved in there. As far as what conflicts are going on between two sovereign nations or two recognized entities, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. It's not my problem. Okay, so as far as the October 7th stuff, man, that sucks. It's tragic. Hey, I'm right there with you. Go get your pounds of flesh. All right? As far as the war crimes go that we've been privy to, hey, you know, not cool. But you got to understand that they are working on a whole other level of things. And I'm outside of all of it. I'm absolved from all of that. That is a million miles to nowhere. That's not my problem. None of that is my problem. I'm in America first. And that's the way a lot of other people are looking at it. These fraternities, as I've said, they represent the patriarchy, the economically stable, the upper crust of society. And as soon as this turned into a conversation on race, because it always will, and it's one of those things that you kind of roll your eyes around, as soon as it did, that's when you saw a lot of milquetoast conservatives, the boomer cons, and so on and so forth. They just start walking away from these kids in their greatest moment. Now, I submit to you, I don't necessarily want to go in that direction, but I want to submit to you this, that this is a counter-revolution. Okay, this is one that's been bubbling up for a significant amount of time now, of young men out there who have been the target of all animosity across the board, and this is extending into their adult lives. This is extending into the larger society. They're bearing the brunt of this on college campuses. And then when they get into the corporate world, they're encountering the corporate incarnation of that. And it's an inside joke that they're all getting in real time. Oh man, oh yeah, man, here we go. Oh, evil white man again. Oh. And they know the truth. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. But when you point the finger at someone repeatedly, don't be shocked when they point back. And that pointing turns into poking, turns into a shove. And that's exactly what is happening here. It's what needs to happen here. And I'm going to tell y'all something. The counter-revolution is galvanizing right now. And among Generation Z, they're tired of putting up with this. They're completely fed up with it. Top to bottom. And so for all of the people on the right, all of the people on the right, who've been active for, you know, however long, and they, you know, in various ways, and here we are. Nothing ever happens. Since I've been doing this many years, nothing ever happens. You're seeing it right now. You're seeing the galvanization of the counter-revolution that's happening before your very eyes, and all some of you can do is black pill. All some of you can do out there is wring your hands. All some of you can do out there is sit back and say, yeah, but I bet this never goes anywhere like anything else never goes anywhere. I bet because I've seen you say it. I watched from afar while I had other things to do, while I was teaching a class and I was taking notes. Get the notepad right here. Folks, there is a tectonic shift that is occurring right now, socially. Sociologically, we call this theory of social capital. Agnew, who was a criminologist in, if I recall, it's been a long time since I've looked over this material. Would have been the 1960s, but he studied juvenile delinquents. And Agnew's theory of social capital, there were some other people, Travis Hershey is another notable sociologist, criminologist that studied this phenomena. But the idea of social capital, why do some kids become juvenile delinquents and others don't? And in their studies of this, because, you know, the late 1950s, early 1960s, you had, you know, the baby boom. You had a lot of kids who were running around unsupervised because they couldn't. I mean, that was the reality. I'm not saying that in any sort of way. I spent a lot of my childhood unsupervised. Both parents working because they have to work, you know, and they're not there to help you with your homework. They're not there to you know, kind of hold your hand through things. You know, your dog dies. Like, you know, all right, man, it sucks, but, you know, hey, this is what you got to do, you know. But the idea of social capital, so they were studying these kids from various economic backgrounds. Low income to middle class to high class. They, you know, they had a dichotomy there, socioeconomic status, what we call SES. And why do some kids turn to become delinquents and others don't? And they didn't really have a coherent answer. It's not necessarily the answer you would expect either, because it's a classic case of when most people say, well, it would be common sense. Juvenile delinquents are you know, typically going to be low income, probably, you know, behind in their academic progression in class, so on and so forth. But that's not correct. And in a lot of cases, that's not correct. So they didn't come up really with a coherent answer for that. But one thing that they did note is that once a child, once a juvenile, gets labeled as being that kid, right? Juvenile delinquent. Once you're labeled as a troublemaker, and this gives way to the larger labeling theory. That's why it's called labeling theory. It's why you should avoid labels with people, especially early childhood development. You should avoid labels, all of them. Good labels, negatively, you should avoid them. Positive reinforcement's obviously great, but don't label your kid the smart kid. Don't label a kid, well, you know, yeah, he's falling behind a little bit. You don't want to do that because they're going to begin to live up to that. And usually they will live up to the negative qualities inherent in that. So if you label a child the smart kid over and over again, he's going to get overconfident in his abilities. If everybody ever told you that you were beautiful, right? Take a young lady. She might be nice looking, but she's not what you would call beautiful. But you call her beautiful over and over again. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, my God. She's going to eventually believe it, and you're doing her a disservice, right? It's the same with kids. It's, you know, you tell them they're smart. Oh, yeah, you're so smart. You're so smart. This kid's so smart, right? And really, that kid isn't. You're doing them a disservice. The same is true if you tell somebody, well, you're bad, over and over again. You're bad. You're bad. I don't know why you're bad, but you're bad. You tell them over and over again, well, eventually they're going to show you what bad is, right? Eventually they're going to show you what bad is. And so when the left, the contemporary militant left in America, not a populist left, but one that seems to be solely concerned with punishment of those who have achieved anything at all, literally anything, in noting this, we are now seeing the culmination of that. We are now seeing the culmination of social capital. Labeling theory goes into social capital. The idea is that the more attachments, the more bonds you have to society, the less likely you are to rebel against its goals, okay? And labeling theory goes into that because if everybody ever told you you were bad, and even though you weren't bad, but everybody always told you you were bad, well, I guess I'm bad. I'm going to live up to this, right? And whatever social capital that I have, it doesn't matter anymore how much I have or how much I had or how little I had, because I'm always going to be labeled as thus. And so now I am disincentivized from being a part of society's goals and from even wanting to be a part of society's goals. There's a lot of danger in there. And this is the territory we are quickly crossing into, where you have a whole swath of young men out there who come from, in many cases, at least a middle class background, who are now saying, you know what? I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't. I'm doing it. They're not ripping down my flag. I'm tired of being told that I am to blame for all of society's ills when we all know the statistics. That's not true. And you're tired of having to sit there and pay taxes on things over and over and over again. You have to give up 25% of your wealth, 35% of your wealth of what you made for what? To make politicians rich? To give to Ukraine? To give to countries that will turn around and stab us in the back? To give to politicians that obviously don't have your best interests at heart? Why? Also, you can call me a racist and tell me that I am to blame for all of society's ills? No. So you can rip down my flag that I fought for, that my fathers fought for, that my grandfathers fought for culturally. I'm speaking in terms of generations here. No, you're not going to do that. That's a bridge too far. We're not going to stand for this. And I'm going to stand there with a smile on my face. I don't care what the ramifications are. And that poke back in your chest is going to quickly become a shove. Because we've had it. This is nonsense. This is bullshit. Take it on somewhere else. Take it right back out the door. Because we're tired of it. Real recognizes real, and real immediately sees fake for what it is. Immediately sees it. And you have a duty to call it out. That's what you're seeing on these college campuses. That's what you're seeing with the pushback. And I got news for you. It ain't going to slow down. It is not going to slow down. Classes might be coming to a close right now. It's finals time. But it ain't going to stop. And it ain't going to slow down. These protests aren't going to slow down. You're going to see the counter-protest. Now, I have my thoughts on all of that. It's a very dangerous time because that is when the co-opting begins happening. That's when the narrative shaping begins happening. That's when the agents provocateur start to jump in there. That's when the grifters begin jumping in. I want to turn it into something that it's not. They want to hijack something that was organic. Many such cases happens all the time. But going into this summer, it's about to get wild. This year is about to get wild. I hope all of you are taking your training seriously. I hope the knowledge that you are consuming out there, you are also taking seriously. And I hope that you are working diligently to equip yourselves for what's coming. Because the militant left, like the petulant children that they are, have designs of breaking this country, and they have no intention of fixing it. None whatsoever. They're going to play right into the hands of the communist Chinese, the Russians, the Venezuelans. They're going to play right into their hands. But that'll be another story for another day. Brushbeater.store, we have a lot of new products up over there. The Rattler V2s are now in stock. They arrived while I was out in Montana. Thermal rifle scopes. I am really, really impressed with these. 20 microkelvin heat sensor. 50 hertz refresh rate on these. They are icy smooth. They are incredible. Just I can't say enough good things about it. I shot a couple of quick videos with it just yesterday, and I got them up on X, and I also have them on AmericanPartisan.org. So you're going to want to go check those out. All right, you are going to want to go check those out. You can get all of that and a heck of a lot more over at brushbeater.store. Check the training calendar out. I'm going to be out in Wyoming in a month. There were a whole lot of you out there on social media saying, oh man, you're in Montana. I'm out west. Man, I didn't even know. Well, you know, my guess is that a lot of you did know. You just kind of like, hey, I would have been there, but I stubbed my toe. Oh man. I'll just have to catch it next time, right? It's kind of that same energy. But for all the rest of you out there, I'm going to be in Wyoming coming up in June. We've got RTO and advanced RTO, all right? Got the rest of the calendar for the remainder of the year is already planned out up over at brushbeater.store/training calendar. I'm going to see all of you in class, hopefully. I'd love to get the opportunity to train with you, work with you in class, and, of course, break bread with you after class. We work hard. We play equally as hard. I'm here for a good time, and I know all of you are as well. Last, certainly not least, shout out to the show sponsors, Genesis Gold Group. You can check out the details over at brushbeatergold.com. Your money, your savings, your life savings, your IRA, everything that you've saved for your retirement, all this stuff, right? You know, you're gonna live the good life. Well, you were losing on average about 15% of that buying power of the U.S. dollar per year, right? With Bidenflation, it's going up even more. And how much is it going to go? We don't know. So wouldn't it be wise to make that investment in physical gold? All right. I think it is. My personal choice is Genesis Gold Group. That's who I go to. That is what I use. Mike Lindell, right? Another heavy hitter out there. Another guy, self-made, true American success story. This is what he personally uses as well. I think you should too. You can check out all the details again at brushbeatergold.com. With that said, folks, God bless. Don't get sucked up into the black pill. Appreciate things for what they are. Get out there. Of course, all thanks is to God for all the things. And I will talk to you again very, very soon. Zensi Scout out.
Let's play Pick a Door. Door one or two?
Door one?
You picked flood insurance. Gary, tell them what they won.
You win. Faster recovery from flooding, financial protection, and peace of mind. This hurricane season, bounce back from flood loss. Flood insurance is your winning choice. FloodSmart.gov/hurricanes.
In the mind of a child with autism, conversation can be overwhelming. But at Brigham Young University, students use an animated social skills coach to help kids like Scout find their strengths and grow in new ways. Brigham Young University, for the benefit of the world.